Wait. Hold up. What's going on, guys? My name is Y Reed with the Seller Finance Deals Podcast, and today I got my buddy on, Zach Turner, who's also one of my students. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you doing?
Dude, I can't complain about anything, man. Real quick, tell us, we don't like to spend a lot of time on this. We like to get in the meat and potatoes, but tell us a little bit real quick about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Zach Turner. I started Galaxy Property Solutions a little over a year ago. I'm still a full-time pest control technician, and I do real estate on the side right now.
Where are you at?
I'm at Wayne's Pest Control.
Wayne's Pest Control. Where at in Alabama? That's what I'm saying.
Huntsville specifically, but we service all of North Alabama. So
I got you. Got you. Okay. Well, good deal, man. So you're a pest control guy. You decided to get into real estate. What made you decide to get into real estate?
There's good money into it. There's good money into it, and it's just a way to expand your knowledge on other aspects of the world, and you know, just kind of wanted to get into something else, you know.
Yeah, money and freedom, man. Money and
freedom.
That's
it, bro. That's it.
So you've been with us for about a year, a little over a year now, right? You joined in January 2023. How many deals have you done?
So far, I've did around six deals.
So six deals. So you're doing 9-to-5 job, and you're doing real estate on the side, and you managed to get six deals in your first year, roughly.
That is correct.
Yeah. Nice. Good deal. So that's what I keep telling people, man, is like, that's one of the most commonly asked questions to me is, can I do this with a job? It's what you focus on, man. And I'll tell you this. I haven't told you this, but, you called me, after you paid and got in and everything, cause John took care of all that. You called me while I was at a mastermind in Miami, and you just wanted to say, "Hey, man, look, I just got in. I'm really excited, and I'm about to do this thing." And I just remember us talking. I was out by the pool. It was like nighttime, super cool. Mm-hmm. But dude, I just remember everything you said. I don't remember it word for word what you said, but I remember thinking, "Yeah, man, that sounds just like me. Like I know this guy's gonna do it because he's got that drive." And so just the things you were saying and like we see other people like that. And a lot of times people like us, we see the potential in people, but you know, they don't see it themselves. But that, I think you seen that, you know, that you took massive imperfect action and you made it happen, man. I mean, that's awesome. I love it. And, so let's talk about some of your deals, man. What are you focused on right now? Is in real estate.
Yeah, so right now I'm mainly focusing on owner financing and trying to do a little bit of wholesaling on the side to raise a little bit of capital. But, you know, right now it's primarily owner financing, trying to build up that, you know, cash flow every single month.
Yeah, man. When he says owner financing, he means seller financing.
Seller financing.
That's just another way of saying it. Yeah, 100%. So for those of you guys that are listening, we seller finance deals, and that means that we buy properties using other people's money. And we're going to talk about exactly step by step how we do this when we talk about Zach's deals. But we buy these properties. Instead of putting renters in there, we put tenant buyers in there, and we actually just become the bank, and we sell it to them on terms. So they put a down payment down, they make a mortgage principal interest payment to us, just like we would be the bank. Let's get into that. You get large down payments. You get cash flow. You don't have to pay in. You don't have to pay insurance taxes. You don't have to manage the property because they're buying the property, right?
And that's you're just absolutely the bank. Right.
You don't go to the bank for a leaky toilet or a squeaky door, right? That's why we love seller financing. So let's get into it. Let's talk about your first deal, which was a seller finance deal. So where did you get that property from? Where did you get that lead source?
So that actually came from a wholesaler. His name was Emmanuel. He's actually part of this program that I'm in right now. He got it under contract. You know, he came to me, was like, "Hey, man, I got this deal. Do you want it?" And I said, "Yes, sir. Let's go take a look at it." And you know, it just kind of went from there.
Dude, that's awesome. So, yeah, Emmanuel's been with me not as long as you, but he is killing it, man. He is just wholesaling everything. I think he just done his first seller finance deal not long ago. So what you're telling me is it pays to be in a community, a coaching program community or something like that, right?
Absolutely, man. It's a lot of times it's about who you know, making those connections, you know, just going to events, networking with people, and building that relationship with others.
100%, man. 100%. So, you got it from him, and what Zach was telling us about Emmanuel wholesaling. So, for you guys that are listening, if you don't know what wholesaling is, it's just where you find a property, you get it under contract. One investor finds it, gets it under contract, and then assigns their rights to that contract, to somebody else, to another investor, and then they take over and they buy it. And so you're essentially just a middleman. You're making an assignment fee. On average, I think across the nation, the average assignment fee is like $8,000. I think our average assignment fee is around 15. But it's a great way to raise capital. But I always tell people, man, it's just like flipping. You know, you're always chasing that next deal, and that's why we focus on seller financing. That's why we focus on rentals. Because cash flow is going to get you where you want to go. It's great to have capital, but when you're chasing, you're always chasing. I mean, it's a glorified job, you know? So that's what Emmanuel done. He sent you the deal, you took it down. So what did you end up doing with it? How much did Emmanuel make, real quick? How much did Emmanuel make?
So Emmanuel made, I want to say $10,000, and it might have been
Man.
15. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but it was around 10 or 15. So, you know, he got that money up front, and then I came in on the back end and made some money and some cash flow every single
Yeah,
month.
that's awesome, man. So Emmanuel ended up making around 10,000, and then you turned around and you're still able to make money with it too, which is awesome.
Exactly.
So what did you end up doing with the property?
Yeah, so I actually ended up owner financing it, as you would say, seller financing it to the people that were actually already renting the house.
Nice.
They were renting it from a gentleman who lived in, I believe it was Mississippi. He was wanting to sell the house, just kind of get rid of it. The people that were currently living there, they were kind of under the impression that they were going to sell it. And they came to me and just kind of asked me, hey, you know, what's going on? I told them, you know, hey, we're getting ready to buy this house. And they were like, okay, you know, what can we do to stay in this house? And that's when I came in and was like, look, I have the perfect solution for you. You know, went over all the numbers with them, told them what we needed to do, how we needed to do it, and they agreed with it. They liked it. Next thing you know, we're showing up to closing, and the rest was history. I was able to help them out. And the best thing about it is not only are they're not renting anymore. They're actually now the homeowners, which gives them the full freedom to do what they wanted to do with the house, because the issue they were having with before was they didn't want to put any money into the house because they were renting it. They told me that specifically. And I told them, look, if you do it this way, you guys can do whatever you want to with the house. You have full freedom to do. And that was for them was a big selling point. They were tired of renting. So last time I talked to them, you know, they're like, yeah, man, you know, everything's going good. We've done some renovations to it. They're happy, you know, and to me, being able to help them out, get out of renting and become homeowners, and that feeling is unbeatable.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I remember that picture you posted and just like how excited everybody seemed with them at the house and everything. That was awesome.
And it actually brought the wife to tears, bro. I'm not even making that up, dude. Like she came to me crying. She gave me a big hug. She's like, thank you so much. I had to go back. That's why it's also called, you know, creative financing, because you can get really creative with it. You can adjust your numbers as long as it works for both parties. You can get creative with it. You can bounce some ideas around back and forth. And that's what I had to do on that deal. I had to go back and readjust my numbers to where it worked for them and worked for me as well. So the fact that I was able to help them readjust my numbers to still make it work for me, that's what they were really, really grateful for. And yeah, she came to me crying, man. It was just like, thank you so much for making it work and allowing us to stay in this house.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
It was great, man.
Love those situations, man. And that's what it's all about, is creating win-win situations for everybody. If you can figure out how to do that, problem solve and come to an agreement, I mean, that's what it's all about. So, Let's pull it back a little bit. Let's baby step through it. For, most of the people out here that are new, that are listening, like, well, okay, well, he said he got it from a wholesaler and then he seller financed it, but how in the world did he do that, right? So let's pull back. How did you end up buying this property? You don't have just a ridiculous amount of money just laying around to be able to buy a property, right? So how did you do it, and what was the purchase price?
Yeah, so the purchase price for me, it was all in $70,000. Of course, I used hard money. The primary lender funded, I think, about 80-90% of the deal. And then I got a bridge lender, she covered that gap there. I didn't really have to, with it being my first deal, I did have to put a little bit of money into it. I had to put a little bit of money out of pocket for the earnest money, had to come out of pocket for the inspection, but all that together was like $800, So, really, I only came out of pocket $800 to buy the
Dude,
house.
that's awesome. So let's slow it down a little bit more. So you used a hard money lender, and so these are guys that are going to look at the deal and they're going to say, okay, well, this is a good deal. They know what they're looking at, and they lend based on the deal. They don't go through your financials, they don't go through your credit. They lend solely based on the deal, and they're people that I recommended to you, right? So they've got a good
Absolutely.
relationship with me. They know that I'm not going to send them somebody that has a bogus deal. I run the numbers on it. I help you guys make sure it's a good deal, because I'm not going to let you guys take down anything that I wouldn't take down myself, right? So these hard money lenders are going to look at this deal, and then they're going to fund up to 90% purchase and 100% of the rehab. I don't think you had to do any rehab at all on the house, right?
I didn't do
So
any
you're
rehab. Let's see.
right. And so essentially you had a gap of around $7,000
Yep.
plus fees, plus closing. So
Yep.
probably around $9,000-$10,000, right? So you ended up going to a bridge lender who is essentially the same deal. They're going to look at the property and go based on what, our relationship. They're going to go based on the
Yep.
deal, and then they're going to bridge that gap between what you do have and what you don't have. And so the hard money lender is going to be pretty expensive as far as interest rates go, but it's short-term money, right? And then the bridge lender is essentially the same way, but it's like anywhere from 10 to 12% on a smaller loan. I think you said you got $10,000 or 15.
I think it was 15.
15. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because here's the thing about bridge money too, is I always tell my students to get the down payment, get all the fees, get the closing costs, and get your payments too. Like, get enough to cover all that, and essentially you won't have to come out of pocket for this deal until you go and refinance and get everything taken care of. And then hopefully by
Exactly.
then you've got a tenant in there that's paying for the mortgage and everything afterwards, right?
Exactly.
So you got it for 70. You didn't do any work for it or on it, as far as rehab goes, and
Yep.
then you seller financed it to the tenant that was in there. So you were essentially having this conversation with the tenants before you even bought the property, right? So
That is correct.
something really important about this deal is that right there is you line these things up to close the same day, right? So you bought it, and then you turned around and seller financed it to them on the same day.
That's correct. Roughly within an hour apart of each other.
Yeah, man, that's
Yep.
awesome. So you got it for 70. It appraised for how much?
Just under 130,000.
Under 130,000. So it's really important to know what it's going to appraise for, or roughly know around what it's going to appraise for, because the bank is going to only give you 80% of what it appraised for, right? So essentially, you're all in for with fees and bridge and hard money and closing costs and everything. You're all in for around $97,000, right? So if it appraised for just under 127, then you probably got around 101, 100, 101,000, right?
That's correct.
So you essentially walked away with $4,000 from the refinance, right? Just on the refinance, you walked away with $4,000. You pulled cash out of the refi and put it in your pocket.
That's correct.
So that's awesome. And then you walked away with a bank payment of how much?
So my payment to the bank is right around 800.
$800, or right around $800. Okay. So in the same day, you then turned and seller financed it to the tenant buyers that were in the house. So how much did you sell it to them for?
140,000.
Okay, so we've got a $40,000 gap, which is amazing. Ballpark, home run. What's the interest rate you sold it for?
10%.
10% interest. So your interest is probably around 7 or 8%.
It was 7.79.
Okay, so almost 8, so almost around 3% gap, right, in the interest rate. So that's good too. Now we're selling them for around 11.5, 12%, and sometimes 13%. So that's great. That was back when we were selling them for 10%. So with these, we normally get a 10% down payment, but that was what you were just talking about earlier, was you helped these guys out. And so essentially, what did they put down?
So they only had to put down $2,000.
Man, for a $140,000 house, they only had to put $2,000 down. So you, in capital, you walked away with $6,000, because you got two from them and then you got four from closing, right?
That
So
is
you walked
correct.
away with $6,000. That's great. $6,000 you didn't have before, right?
Exactly.
So, what was their what does their payment end up being?
So their payment is $1,300.
So essentially, you walked away with $6,000, closed the same day. You only had about $800 in the property, and that was just paying for an inspector and putting earnest money down. So essentially, you walked away with $6,000 in capital and $500 a month in net cash flow. Again, because when you sell or finance, you're not paying the taxes, you're not paying the insurance, you are not maintaining this property because they are buying it, right?
That is
So
correct.
that is a home run in my book every single day. Every
That's
single
it,
day on your
man.
first deal, man. That's awesome.
Exactly.
So moving on from that, you have another deal, and we're coming up on the time real quick. So essentially, what you did after this deal is you had enough money to go back and start marketing. So what did you end up doing? You started doing some postcard campaigns, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I did start up a postcard campaign and started doing a lot of marketing in Florence, Alabama. Next thing you know, I'm getting in phone calls, and that is how the second deal came about.
Nice, nice. So, walk us through this. So you, and if you guys are interested in getting into postcards, you need to talk to our marketing coach, Nick, at REI Printmail. So you can go to reiprintmail.com/launch, /Main Street, MAINSTREET. Or you can, when you book a call, just tell him that we referred you over. But essentially, you talked to Nick, you gathered some information on different markets in North Alabama, you decided to go with Florence, and then they dropped the postcard campaign and you ended up starting to get calls, right? And so
That's correct.
how did that first call go?
Yeah, so he called me and was just like, "Hey man, I got this postcard in the mail." He was like, "I'm married, I've got two kids. We're actually looking to get a bigger house, but we didn't really know when the timing was right to sell." But he's like, "Look, I just kind of stumbled across your postcard. I wanted to give you a call. I wanted to see if this was legit." And I kind of just went from there.
Yeah, so the
So.
postcards we send out, they have offers on them already, and that's one of the first thing people ask when they call in, is this legit? And we always say, hey, look, it's absolutely legit as long as the property is in good condition. And most of the time it's not. So they know up front that that number is flexible if there's work that needs to be done, right? So just a side note. So what happened next? You got the phone call. You talked to the guy. He was interested in selling. So then you scheduled the appointment, right? Went out and looked at it. How did that go?
It was really good. I drove out to Florence and met with the gentleman, looked at the house, and we just kind of got a plan of action into place. Kind of told him where I would be at on the purchase price, and there really wasn't a lot of negotiation there. He actually understood he actually understood it from an investment standpoint. He understood that I had to make money on the house. You know, he understood that. So there wasn't really a whole lot of negotiating there. We just kind of came to an agreement on the price. I got it locked up for $41,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually ended up wholesaling that to another investor for $45,000.
Nice.
And, I actually JV'd, which stands for joint venture, JV'd with another student of yours named Dakota, you know, and we put it out on Facebook. He actually ended up finding the buyer himself, and we closed with that buyer, and we actually split the profit right down the middle. So he walked away with $2,000, and I walked away with $2,000. And the lady that actually bought the house, she actually called me yesterday, let me know it's actually up for rent.
Nice. So, very nice. So essentially you put it under contract for 41, and then you started marketing the property. You guys put it out on Facebook, marked it up. I'm sure it was over 45 when you marked it up and somebody that negotiated. That is correct. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's essentially how wholesaling works. I mean, you can put it out to a buyer's list if you build your buyer's list, but a lot of the times, most of our deals go on Facebook and they sell fairly quickly. And so we don't put a lot of time and energy into building a buyer's list, because why would we do that when it goes on Facebook? So you ended up making around $4,000. You split it with Dakota. Dakota's got, man, he's got that Florence market on lock as far as buyers go. And that's something that he did focus on was building a buyer's list at first.
Yep.
Cause he struggled because he started in Sheffield, which is a little south of Florence. Right. So
yep.
He was getting all these properties under contract, but he wasn't able to sell them. So he kind of pulled back a little bit and then started working on a buyer's list. And once he finally got about 5 to 10 buyers, man, he was back at it. And so that's a good example of doing it that way too. So there's multiple different strategies you can do, multiple different ways to do it. So we are right at time. So I want to ask you just a couple of questions. Number one, what are you reading right now?
I'm actually started reading this book. I'd have to go over there and look at the name, but I believe it's called If You Can't Wholesale After This, I've Got Nothing For You.
That's a good book. Yeah, that's a good book, man.
Yeah.
So what is your morning routine like? So you're not out of the job yet. This is something I usually ask people that are out of their job, but do you have a specific morning routine you do, or you just roll up out of bed and get to work?
And I wake up, honestly, about 15 minutes before I was supposed to leave, throw on my clothes, brush my teeth, and I'm out the driveway, man.
That sounds like me when I had my job. So
yeah,
you'll get there one day, man. You'll get there one day. I know.
Exactly.
We'll do another interview once you quit your job.
Yeah, man.
So, last question. If there was any advice that you could give somebody that's listening right now, that's new, that's wanting to get started, what would it be?
Well, you already know my answer, man. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
That's it, man. That's something I struggled with going into my first deal. You know, I was scared, man. I was nervous. A lot of numbers thrown around, hard money, bridge money. You're trying to manage the tenant buyers, and I was nervous, man. But that's something you said from the very, very beginning. Trust the process, and I did. And it's never failed me, bro.
That's it, man. That's it. Like, when you come in and you're brand new, you don't know what's going on. You have so many doubts in your mind. You have a doubt in me as a mentor, in any mentor. If you're getting any mentor, you have doubts. You have doubts in the process. You have doubts in yourself. And it's like you have a bunch of these chains on. But man, whenever you finally get it and you do your first deal, it's number one. It's like it's like all these chains have finally come off. It's like,
exactly.
Holy crap, I can do it. I can do it, and it works, right? And then it's the second thing it's like a snowball.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get that first deal, man, it's sometimes it's tough to get that first deal. Sometimes it takes a while. But once you get that first deal, it's like a freaking snowball, man. It just goes downhill and gets bigger and bigger. So
it is, man.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, I really appreciate you being on, and man, I can't wait to have you back when you quit your job.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate you, bro.
Dude.
I really do, man. Your program's awesome, and I'm gonna keep on trucking.
Thanks, brother. You have a good one, man. See you.
You too, bro.